Sometimes I can say all the wrong words. Sometimes I can think of only me. I know that my pride can hide the tenderness that longs to show I care. May I be his love.
Thank you, Carrie. Our scripture reading this morning is found in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18. And reading from the King James Version, it says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Testing, testing. Good morning and happy Sabbath. It's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord once again. We take it not for granted that God has blessed us once again to see another Sabbath. He has brought us through another week. And brothers and sisters, as we see the day approaching, as we see immorality and everything taking place in this world, take it not for granted that God has allowed you to be here today. Soon, and very soon, brothers and sisters, we will not be able to meet like this. We will not be able to gather together to encourage one another. So I admonish you that all these treasures that God has given us in his word, that we treasure them up, because we're going to need them, brothers and sisters. A time is coming that it's going to seem as though we are the only one. Remember Elijah? When he was on Mount Carmel, as he stood before the 400 prophets and called fire down from heaven. But then at an unguarded moment, when a threat came from Jezebel, Elijah left his post. And we think, how is it that Elijah, who did a great work for God a few hours ago, was able to run from a threat? Because, brothers and sisters, we don't know ourselves. But the enemy knows us very well. And fear can do things to us that we don't even know that it's there. But the enemy knows that it's there. This is why, brothers and sisters, we should treasure every opportunity, every precious promise here. Because that's the only thing we're going to have to stand on in these closing hours. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 3, in verse 14, we're dealing with the last church, the Laodicean church. And in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, I read, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things said who? The faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither what? I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art what? Neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Have mercy. Because thou sayest, I am what? And increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art what? Wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. But here comes the good news. I counsel thee to do what? To buy of me what? Gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be what? Rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. The testing process, brothers and sisters. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you once again, Father, for the opportunity to come and study your word. We invite your presence, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead who you promised that will lead us into all truth. Bless us in a special and mighty way this afternoon, that, Lord, only your words and your voice may be heard. And we thank you for your grace, kindness, and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. In Revelation chapter 3, the true witness counsels us to buy what? Three things, right? The first one is what? Gold tried in the fire. What is the second one? White raiment that we may be clothed. And the third, eye salve that we may see. This is the counsel that the true witness is giving us. And it's interesting, brothers and sisters, that God gives us these three spiritual things to do what? To restore. God is trying to do what? Restore us spiritually. So he's counseling us to buy of these three things so that we can be restored. And it's interesting, the first one, gold. Gold is considered what? The most precious of metals. Is that right? But what does the gold tried in the fire represent? Purification, okay. Anybody else? Somebody said completion? Affliction, okay. Okay. Well, here, gold is represented as faith and love that purifies the soul. We're going to have faith to go through what we're about to go through. But we're also going to have love. In 1 Peter, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter explains it quite well. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Chapter 1, looking at verse 7. Are we there? In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, that the trial of your what? Faith. Being much more precious than of what? That perisheth. Though it be what? Tried with what? Fire. Might be found unto what? Praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, we're going to go through some things. But Peter says that the trial of our faith being much more precious, God is going to allow us to go through trials because he knows that it is going to develop something in us. He's taken us through a what? A purifying process. I call it the testing process. Listen to this statement found in To Be Like God. That I may know him. 265, paragraph 4. Listen to what it says. We need not expect to get the victory without suffering. Did you hear that? For Jesus suffered in conquering for us. While we suffer in his name, while we are called upon to deny appetite and to withdraw ourselves from lovers of pleasure, we should not murmur, but should rather rejoice that we are privileged in a very small degree to be partakers with Christ of the trial, the sacrifice, the self-denial, and the suffering that our Lord endured on our behalf, that we might obtain eternal life. That's beautiful, brothers and sisters. Remember when the disciples, when they were beaten, and Peter rejoiced that he was able to be beaten for his Lord. Peter shamefully denied his Lord at one point. But when the test came again, Peter rejoiced. He did not murmur. And you know, it says, the last sentence says, our Lord endured on our behalf that we might obtain eternal salvation. You know, when I think about this statement here, it reminds me of the rich young ruler. Turn with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, starting with verse 18, look at this story. It says, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to do what? Inherit eternal life. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good, save one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet. Here comes the testing process. Yet lackest thou one thing. Do what? Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the who? And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Verse 24. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? So, brothers and sisters, if you're poor, that's a good thing. Because you have nothing to give up. But listen to what Christ's object lesson says about the rich young ruler. Christ's object lessons, page 392, says, the lover of self is a transgressor of the law. This Jesus desired to reveal to the rich young ruler. And he gave him a test that would make manifest the selfishness of his heart. Did you hear that? He showed him the plague spot in his character. The young man desired no further enlightenment. He had cherished an idol in the soul. The world was his God. In his love of self and worldly gain, he was out of harmony with the principles of heaven. So here, God offered him eternal life, and he chose his riches over salvation. You know, the gold trod in the fire, Jesus also tells us that thou mayest be rich Now, if you have the faith of Jesus Christ, are you rich? You are rich indeed. Because no moth or corruption can take it away from you. But what constitutes spiritual riches? What constitutes spiritual riches? Turn with me to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, looking at verse 5. James chapter 2 and verse 5. Are we there? It says, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, have not God chosen the who? The poor of this world, but what? Rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him." This is what constitutes spiritual riches, brothers and sisters. The poor of this world. And if you're poor in this world, Philippians chapter 4 gives us encouragement. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall do what? Supply what? All your needs according to his riches in glory." By who? The true witness, Jesus Christ. God will provide. So don't think because you don't have the things of this world that God won't provide for you. He will provide just what we want. Because brothers and sisters, if we are able to buy whatever we want, then we will have no need for who? God. So sometimes God doesn't allow his children to have all the things of this world because it would do what? Draw our attention away from him. And that's a blessing, brothers and sisters. Believe it or not. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, we find that there is faith, hope, and love, but yet the greatest of these is love. Brothers and sisters, we're going to have some love in our hearts. A time is coming, brothers and sisters, where we're going to be persecuted. But we're going to have love in our hearts for our persecutors. Are we ready for that? Are we ready to say, "I forgive you"? Are you ready for when the people you've worked with for over 25 years, 30, 40 years, and they laugh and joke in your face, but then when the tides are turned, brothers and sisters, that your religion is going to be on the line, and all of a sudden the finger is being pointed at you, and those same people that you thought were your friends have now become your enemies, will you still have love in your heart for them? Will you still want to be in their presence? Will you still have a longing for their hearts to be saved? Or would you want God to call down fire from heaven on them? That's the question we're going to have to ask ourselves. Because that's the position we're going to be placed in real soon. Are we ready for that? God tells us in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If ye love me, do what? Keep my commandments." If we love him. And in the third angel's message, there's a benediction pronounced on those who are faithful. And do you know what that benediction is? In Revelation chapter 14, verse 12, God gives us his benediction of faithfulness. And it reads, Revelation 14, 12, here is the what? Of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and what? The faith of Jesus. In 4T88, paragraph 1, it says, faith and love are the true riches. The pure goal which the true witness counsels the lukewarm to buy, however rich we may be in earthly treasure, all our wealth will not endure us, will not enable us, to buy the precious remedies that cure the disease of the soul called lukewarmness. So God has counseled us. The next article he has counseled us to do is to do what? And buy of him what? White raiment that thou mayest be what? Here's another element that God is counseling us to buy. Now, what is the white raiment identified as? Who knows what the white raiment is identified as? That's right. In Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 through 8, it says, Christ, it says, let me turn there. Revelation chapter 19. In verse 7 and 8, I'll read. It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife, which is us, have made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in what? Fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. So the white linen, the white raiment represents the righteousness of the saints. And where did the saints obtain this righteousness? From Christ. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6 says, the Lord, our righteousness. Now, it says something here that our nakedness shall be clothed. That the shame of our nakedness, do not appear. Now, where in the Bible do we first, where do we first see the shame of nakedness in the Bible? Genesis chapter 3. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, looking at verse 7. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Verse 9, and the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now, it's interesting that Adam and Eve fell for the first lie that Satan told to them. When we look at verses, Genesis chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. It says, "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not what? Surely die." And it's interesting that they fell for that lie. Now, what happened to them after they fell for that lie? Remember in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17? Let's go back there. Look what happened to them. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17, look what happened to Adam and Eve after they fell for the Satan's lie. In Revelation chapter 17, it says, "And knowest not that thou art wretched?" Did they become wretched? "And miserable." That they become miserable and poor and blind and naked. When Adam and Eve fell for that first lie, here is the restoring process here in Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. Nakedness first appeared in Genesis chapter 3. The restoring process comes in Revelation chapter 3. The condition that they found themselves in, and God now here is giving us the remedy. Listen to what Upward Look, page 378, paragraph 3 says. A fig leaf apron will never cover our nakedness. Sin must be taken away, and the garment of Christ's righteousness must cover the transgressor of God's law. Then, when the Lord looks upon the believing sinner, he sees not the fig leaves covering him, but Christ's own robe of righteousness, which is perfect obedience to the law of Jehovah. Man has hidden his nakedness, not under a covering of fig leaves, but under the robe of Christ's righteousness. That's good news, brothers and sisters. So we see that the next article was the white raiment that Christ wanted to give us was his righteousness. And you know, I like what Paul has to say, what Paul had to say in Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul says, "I am what? Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, what? I live. Yet not I, but who? Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Brothers and sisters, we're going to have to be dead to this life. Colossians, I think, says it. Paul says in Colossians that if we then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. For where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, he says, set your affections on what? Things above, and not on things where? On the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's where we're going to have to be, brothers and sisters. We're going to have to be to the point where every time Satan pushes a button, he remembers when this one used to work. how they would respond when I would push this button. But there is no more response. Why? Because we are hid in Christ, brothers and sisters. We have to be. I have to be. I'm not there. I'm still allowing the enemy to push my buttons. But I want to be dead, brothers and sisters. And I know you do too. Because Christ has eternal salvation waiting. Christ is waiting on us. Last but not least, he tells us to put on and to anoint our eyes with what? Eye salve. It says here in 4T88 paragraph 2, it says, the eye salve is that wisdom and grace which enables us to discern between the evil and the good, and to detect sin under any guise. Did you hear that? If ever we needed eye salve, we need it today, don't we? God has given his church eyes, which he requires them to anoint with wisdom, that they may see clearly. But many would put out the eyes of the church if they could, for they would not have their deeds come to the light, lest they should be reproved. The divine eye salve will impart clearness to the understanding. Christ is the depository of all graces. He says, buy of me. And you know, Christ tells us to buy of me. And it reminded me of the story in Matthew chapter 25, when the five foolish virgins ran out of oil. And it says here, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. The true witness has counseled us to do what? To buy. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20, it says, hear counsel and receive instructions, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Did you hear that? Are we living in the latter end, brothers and sisters? Do we need counsel and instruction? In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23, and we'll end on this note, it says, buy the truth. Listen, brothers and sisters. Buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom and instructions and understanding. The true witness has counseled us today. He's given us the three elements that we need to be overcomers in these last days. He counsels us to buy. And he also counsels us not to sell. What are you planning to do? God has spoken to us this morning. He has instructed us this morning. We have no excuse, brothers and sisters, none of us, to be lost. Will you say with me that, Father, I recognize in my own strength and my weakness that I'm not quite there. But, Father, your word tells us, now unto him who is able to keep me, put your name there, from falling, and to present me faultless before the presence of his Father. Is God able? Are we going to claim that promise? Well, stand with me as we pray. Father in heaven, you have given us the remedy for this sin-sick soul that started all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. But Father, you are so faithful and merciful that you came down here to show us how to get it done. You left us a perfect example, Lord, that we can follow, a blueprint. And Lord, you gave us all these precious promises that you can help us make it through. Lord, we all want to be dead to sin. We do not want the enemy to be able to push any buttons. We're asking, Lord, today, Father, that you would keep each and every one of us at the sound of my voice. That, Lord, we would make a determined effort to do all in our strength. And where we fall short, Lord, we know that you would make up the difference. So we thank you this morning, Father. You know every one of us individually. And, Lord, you know, we know, Lord, that the work that you started in each and every one of us here, you are able to finish. So we claim that promise. And we thank you this morning. And Lord, as always, we give you the honor and the praise, for you are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.